This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. For more than 5 years, Cody Wilson, through his company Defense Distributed, has been working to disseminate the means of gun production to the masses.
He believes that everyone in America has a right to build their own gun arsenal at home. In 2013, he built the world's first working plastic firearm.
Wilson's vision, a library, both physical and digital, of firearm info, complete with technical manuals, gun data, and schematics for building your own weapons. Since 2013, Wilson has been battling with the federal government to get the downloadable blueprints for his 3D-printed gun up on the web. And just this week, it looks like a protracted lawsuit was finally going his way.
Initially, starting August 1st, after the State Department's decision to settle a five-year lawsuit with Texas-based nonprofit Defense Distributed, that company was going to be legally allowed to make blueprints for 3D-printed guns available online.
Quickly, however, state attorneys general stepped in to object to that decision.
Washington State's Bob Ferguson, who led the lawsuit by eight attorneys general, argued that 3D-printed plastic weapons are dangerous because they're untraceable, often undetectable, and require no background check.
On Tuesday, a federal judge issued an injunction in the attorney's general favor, blocking the gun plans from being published before a Wilson set August 1st deadline.
Here's what happened today. Federal judge stepped in with a temporary injunction, okay? And that's what it sounds like. This is not over. But for now, there will be no more blueprints to make 3D printable weapons online.
And yet, according to Cody Wilson, the decision does little to change a reality that's already barreling our way.
The debate is over. The guns are downloadable. The files are in the public domain. You cannot take them back. You can adjust your politics to this reality.
An ominous vision of reality, and one that seemed terrifying when first predicted back in 2012. And yet,
when no one was actually killed with a 3D printed gun and nobody seemed to be toting these around in cities or threatening people with them, the media and politicians largely just forgot about this.
Andy Greenberg writes for Wired magazine, where he originally broke the Cody Wilson story 6 years ago. He says that out of the media glare, Wilson has thrived.
Defense Distributed, the company that Cody Wilson started, has been evolving their idea of homemade weapons, not always about 3D printing. So often that kind of easy news peg of talking about these cool gadgets, 3D printers, hasn't been there. And as a result, the progress they've made has, I think, slipped under the radar.
Now, there's a couple of things here. It's not all about 3D printing. There are other technologies that enable people to manufacture firearms, and they're doing so, and people have died.
That's right. There have been two mass shootings, both in California, that used homemade AR-15 style semi-automatic rifles. And those shooters, in fact, didn't make the whole rifle. They just made the lower receiver of those rifles, which is the only part under American gun control laws that is regulated. If you can make that one part at home, then you can essentially just buy all these other peripherals. And those peripherals would include the barrel and the stock and all the trigger components, these things that are core to what we think of as a gun, but there are no regulations around them. So you can assemble around this thing you've built an entire fully functioning gun that to the untrained eye looks like any old AR-15.
Now, one of the reasons that people freak out about 3D printing is that the guns are, for the most part, plastic. It's the undetectability of them through ordinary security precautions that seems particularly alarming. There's at least one relevant statute on the books forbidding manufacture and also distribution of undetectable firearms. Why doesn't that get invoked?
When Cody Wilson created the first 3D printed gun, he called it the Liberator. He very carefully put this chunk of metal inside of it so that he wouldn't be violating that undetectable firearms act. Of course, anyone else could print that same gun, and that metal wasn't required for any kind of technical reason, so you could leave it out and then you'd have this undetectable plastic weapon. But I think that the whole detectability thing has been kind of a distraction. Lawmakers have pushed for a renewal of the Undetectable Firearms Act as a way to try to control 3D printed guns, but they've ignored the fact that these other similar technologies like computer-controlled milling machines can also help people make guns at home out of metal. Those are not undetectable guns, but they're far more reliable than plastic guns, and they exploit a loophole in our gun control laws.
And now I'm going to turn the conversation, obviously, towards tax law. You know, there are lots of statutes on the books that you can have your client adhere to shelter income. But under American tax law, the IRS is allowed to say, nope, sorry, that's an abuse of statutes for a clearly unlawful tax avoidance intent, and we are disallowing it. Can you tell me how Cody Wilson putting a metal component in the supposed design of a 3D gun, which no single home manufacturer will ever install, doesn't lead to a kind of IRS sort of reaction to the overall intent?
Well, you know, the IRS of the gun world is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And there is this kind of dance that's happening all the time between gun owners. It's almost Talmudic, the way that they interpret these rules and then try to find the exact edges of them. So for instance, for years, people have been selling these 80% lower receivers for AR-15s. You just basically get this block of aluminum that's almost a lower receiver of an AR-15. Then you finish the last 20% at home, and nobody has sold you that piece, so there was no gun control involved. The ATF has been okay with that sort of thing for years, you know, for whatever reason. So Cody Wilson is very skilled at navigating these kinds of edges of gun control laws and finding, in fact, cracks where he can drive a wedge and, as he sees it, advance the First Amendment in America.
It seems to me that these loopholes are pretty easily closed. Where is the U.S. Congress in all of this?
Well, you can see that at least this Republican Congress simply doesn't pass gun control laws. The attorneys general of all these states that are suing Defense Distributed and the State Department to try to undo their settlement, they're focused on the proliferation of all these gun files that Defense Distributed now wants to put online. But I agree that that's kind of a futile gesture. It's almost like trying to stop music or movie piracy online. There are certainly other sorts of laws that could be passed. We've seen in California, for instance, that the state has passed a law that if you create the lower receiver of an AR-15 at home, you have to tell the government, you have to get a serial number and engrave it on your homemade rifle. That essentially makes it impossible to create these so-called ghost guns, these guns that you assemble at home in full privacy with no regulation whatsoever. We could see something like that at the national level, but then there's the question of whether those sorts of laws matter. If you can make a gun at home, who is going to catch you? It may, in fact, not matter that that ghost gun you made has been outlawed in your state.
Now, Cody Wilson and Defense Distributed have argued from the beginning that they have First Amendment protection, that this is free speech.
I'm talking about files. I'm not talking about the guns. I'm not a licensed gun manufacturer. I don't make guns at this location. I have data. I can share the data.
But obviously, free speech is not absolute. There's kiddie porn, for instance, that's illegal. There's piracy, which is illegal speech. And then there's public safety, undetectable guns or home-milled unregulated weapons seem to be the equivalent, at least, of shouting fire in a crowded theater. How does the First Amendment argument hold up?
Well, you know, we haven't actually seen that argument play out to its conclusion. When the State Department in 2013 tried to prevent Defense Distributed from putting their files online, they accused them of exporting a weapon, and violating these export controls as if they had shipped a plastic gun to Mexico rather than putting just the file for that gun on the internet. It took him 2 years, but he assembled a legal team and sued the State Department under this First Amendment claim, saying that he has the right to share any information, including these essentially digital gun files.
But that claim was never litigated because the State Department...
The State Department fought this and fought it for years and then stopped fighting it. We don't know why, and simply rolled over and conceded to Defense Distributed everything that they wanted in a settlement. Not only gave them the right to publish practically any commercially available gun file on the internet, but agreed to change the rules to move the regulation of these kinds of export controls of technical data on guns over to the Commerce Department, which won't try to prevent people from sharing stuff on the internet. So Defense Distributed won this battle. It has changed the way that the federal government tries to police digital stuff about guns on the internet.
Was any rationale ever put forward for this decision?
Not only have we not heard any rationale for why the State Department offered this settlement, we saw the State Department and the Department of Justice make arguments against Defense Distributed for years, including under Trump, saying that these files presented a public safety risk and a national security risk. And then suddenly they changed their stance entirely. And that is part of the case now of all of these attorneys general around the country who are suing the State Department and Defense Distributed to try to overturn the settlement, because they're saying you didn't even follow the procedures you're supposed to follow when you change these federal rules. You didn't give anybody a chance to comment. You didn't explain yourself. That's illegal. And the settlement has to evaporate.
Now, underneath all of this conversation is the central fact that the cat is out of the bag. Lawsuits or no lawsuits, these files are available online and they can't be unsent.
Well, the cat is out of the bag in two important ways. One very immediate, which is that as everyone focused on this August 1st deadline, including attorneys general and lawmakers, they're all talking about August 1st as the date the Defense Distributed had said it was going to release all these files. Cody Wilson just quietly put everything up on July 27th. 10 collections of gun components. Here's an AR-15, every component of it. Here's an AR-10, every component of it. Those files were being downloaded thousands of times. But there's also this larger sense in which this kind of can't put the toothpaste back into the tube idea you're getting at is true, which is that some form of these files have been online for years. The Liberator single-shot plastic pistol that Defense Distributed first released in 2013 was downloaded 100,000 times before the State Department managed to pull it offline. And other 3D printable files have been spreading on underground forums. So trying to control the spread of these files, that does seem like probably the most backward-facing way to deal with this gun control issue.
You know, whenever in this conversation I've wanted to talk about 3D printing, you've really wanted to talk about home milling technology. It seems to me that you think that the media have been equally focusing on the wrong thing. It's not the gee whiz technology of plastic guns, but the use of technology to keep the government in the dark of all DIY manufacturer completely in the privacy of our own homes.
So there's kind of these two things happening. There's this very current practical gun control issue, and then there's this kind of science fictional one, this notion that anyone can download and click and 3D print a reliable and durable working lethal weapon in their home. That's still kind of something that lies in the future.
Andy, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Andy Greenberg is a senior writer for Wired, covering security, privacy, information freedom, and hacker culture. I spoke with Cody Wilson back in 2012. At the time, he downplayed the destruction that could arise from his creations.
Criminals and gangs already have access to the most lethal weapons out there, the military-grade weapons. I'm not concerned about this flimsy technology anytime soon, you know, opening some new era of open violence on the streets or anything. It's just not there. I am optimistic that really 3D manufacturing is here to stay. Yes, a great number of terrible things would be possible in this future, but also a great number of extraordinary things.
To take the question to the extreme, if you can do in your home using technology the kinds of things for which there is no legitimate consumer use, let's just say weapons-grade anthrax, you nonetheless have no objection to it?
I think a civil libertarian would say, why criminalize the possession of something or the creation of something in itself? It isn't that weapons-grade anthrax is evil in and of itself. It's what you could do with that weapons-grade anthrax. And so the educated civil libertarian would say you could only punish the use of that anthrax for criminal purposes, not its creation or possession. You know, and you use the word legitimate. Legitimate's a scary word. Legitimate to whom? Who makes the rules of legitimacy?
That's a fetching argument, but I wouldn't present it to somebody who has lost a loved one to a burglarized gun. The very existence of dangerous things is in and of itself dangerous, is it not?
I'm not sure that you can say there are quote-unquote dangerous things. I don't know. It seems to me a gun is a very safe thing. Very low rates of failure, designed to do what they're intended to do, you know. I would never walk up to some victim or some family member of someone slain by a gun and say, well, you know, better that we have these rights. But at the same time, we all recognize the respect of civil liberties, even though we must suffer some social cost. And gun rights are no exception to this.
Do you not run a very high risk of seeing them distributed in exactly the place where you, as a citizen, do not wish to see them?
I mean, liberty is risky, right? But let's take your extreme case. Let's imagine a future where I can immediately print out a Tech 9 unserialized and it works like a charm. Yes, you risk some very scary things happening. But I don't know. I just do not see the argument that this is something that must be stopped. And in fact, how could you stop it?
A lot of people in discussing distributed weapons will immediately go to the terrorism possibility, right? That terrorists get a hold of this capacity and start smuggling plastic guns onto airplanes with God knows what consequences. It's not a difficult scenario to envision. But you can one-up that scenario. Tell me about your Islamic banking project.
Well, right now, I'm studying just the principles of retail Islamic banking. You know, there's a rich history there, a multi-century history of not charging interest. How could we use the principles of virtual communities online, like reputation and these other things, to enable pseudonymous or anonymous parties to engage in commerce with each other and borrow and lend interest-free bitcoins in a way that would be sustainable? Basically, Bitcoin banking, right? A people's bank of Bitcoin, but it's interest-free. It's designed to compete with the financial capitalists.
If this were to come to pass, it would arguably be an enabler on a grand scale for financing terrorism.
Right. It's just like the gun argument. Well, you're allowing terrorists to print guns. Well, yes, but you're also allowing people the disintermediated possibility of manufacturing things for themselves and planning their own futures and doing what they will. But again, are we going to say, well, because this right can be abused, we should take it away? No, I think no one's a consequentialist when it comes to things like the First Amendment, you know, the Fourth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment. You know, so why is the Second Amendment an exception? We all believe in, I think, better 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man be punished. But we must honor certain liberties and allow certain bad things to happen in the interest of protecting the innocent and respecting and honoring civil liberties.
You know how Jim Fix, the runner and cardiovascular guru, died of a heart attack, and the owner of Segway segwayed himself right over a cliff? Do you worry about the irony of the universe leading you to be shot by a plastic gun?
I don't worry about it, but I think it's a strong possibility. Nick Bilton at the New York Times asked me the very same thing. Aren't you worried that someone's going to, you know, print one of these out and shoot you to make some point? Well, yeah, it's probably going to happen, right? But it'll be some progressive, some frustrated progressive who thinks that I ruined the world by, you know, disabling his nanny state. So, well, fine. Perhaps I have to suffer a death, but it only makes their cause look more futile.
Well, I'm just saying that I was at the movies the whole evening, and that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Cody, thank you very, very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and thank you so much.
Cody Wilson is the founder of Defense Distributed, creator of the Wiki Weapons Project.
Coming up, a new documentary traces the national trauma that launched the movement called Black Lives Matter.
That's what they're telling us over and over again with these stand your ground laws. We're going to relegate you to a certain corner, a certain space, and that's where you're going to be allowed to exist. And if you do anything further, we can shoot you, kill you, and we can go home and sleep in our bed at night as if your life never mattered.
This is On the Media.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.